Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, we could try to fill the remaining time with awkward pauses. It's often done for comedic effect. Is it working? I can't tell if this is funny. Maybe this is so bad it's funny. Wow, we really peaked at the save big when you switched to Progressive part. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Stopping here as we go through this about every 5 or 6 minutes and give the numbers out, folks. We have to, but pay close attention to this because this is Chuck Baldwin. He did an excellent presentation on what could happen with red flag laws. So whenever I give you the signal there, cut it. We'll go back and so I can get the numbers. Right now, though, I want to say that we have, we have, starting with Leslie pledges, where'd Leslie go? Okay. Leslie pledges $50. Thank you, in Wisconsin. Thank you, Leslie. Paul in Texas pledges $60. Bob and Lori in Michigan pledge $100. Brandon in Detroit pledges $50. Linda in Philly pledges $50. And Patricia in Philly pledges $50. $102. Barb in Georgia pledges $50. And Carl in Cleveland pledges $700.
Okay, thank you, one and all. We've got to hear from you if you want to keep us on air. Remember, it's... God puts it in the hands of the listeners, and he said it's in your hands whether or not we're on the air, whether or not you're able to hear us, and he is going to let you decide.
All right, we're going to take it away, and folks, this is Chuck Baldwin.
Open letter to our legislators, judges, and lawmen pertaining to the potential enactment of the red flag gun confiscation law, SB Senate Bill 7, that is now being discussed in Washington, D.C. An open letter to our legislators, judges, and lawmen. Senator Lindsey Graham has announced that the Senate Judiciary Committee soon will be conducting hearings on Senator Marco Rubio's Senate Bill 7, the Extreme Risk Protection Order and Violence Prevention Act of 2019, otherwise known as the National Red Flag Gun Confiscation Bill. I know I'm speaking for tens of thousands of my fellow Montanans and tens of millions of my fellow Americans when I say what I'm about to say. Red flag gun confiscation laws violate every principle of liberty upon which our country was founded. There is no due process associated with red flag laws. A judge's order to seize the firearms from an American citizen who has not been accused of a crime, charged with a crime, convicted of a crime, or who never even threatened to commit a crime based on the accusation of a single individual is anything but due process. Our accuser could be a disgruntled employee, a bitter ex-spouse or relative, a vengeful neighbor, an anti-gun liberal, or even an anti-gun policeman. By definition, red flag laws use mere suspicion of what one might do as justification to seize a person's firearms. Tactics such as these have been used in virtually every despotic regime of history. In the name of protecting society, the rights and liberties of individuals were denied. Eventually, these repressive governments included political or religious persuasion as triggering red flags, which led to their disarmament, all in the name of public safety, of course. You know as well as I do that when the rights of one American are abridged, the rights of all Americans are abridged. This is not yet a communist nation where the rights of the state or even the rights of a majority of citizens supersede the rights of the individual. Furthermore, it is a fallacy to suggest that a mental health diagnosis by itself indicates that someone is automatically a threat to himself or others. Dr. Ann Bukacek, a highly respected medical doctor in the community in which I live, recently wrote, quote, mental health diagnosis given by physician or other mental health care workers do not predict firearm violence. As a physician for over 30 years who has treated many patients with mental health diagnosis and some autistic spectrum patients, I have not had one of those patients commit an act of gun violence. I did have a patient who bludgeoned a man to death with a blunt object, and that patient carried no mental health diagnosis. Psychopaths with no conscience, especially the more intelligent ones, usually escape detection and/or a particular diagnosis, close quote. This doctor's examination of the issue reflects reality. Besides, under these red flag laws, exactly who is it that determines that someone is crazy? Is it one judge who bases his or her conclusion on the accusations of just one individual? Is it up to politicians or government bureaucrats to define who is and who is not crazy? There are some people who believe that anyone who would even own a firearm is crazy. Others believe one's political or religious beliefs qualify him as crazy. Heck, we've all read the documentation of various governments, local, state, and federal, that have assigned all kinds of crazy, even dangerous, definitions against people based on their interpretation of Bible prophecy or their association with political candidates such as Congressman Ron Paul or their opposition to politically correct ideologies, etc. Does the judge who issues a warrant to seize a person's firearms under a red flag law provide the accused with an opportunity to defend himself before violating his constitutional and natural rights? No. Does the judge provide an opportunity for a close examination of the accusations against the accused, including investigating the accuser before violating his constitutional and natural rights? No. Does the judge allow the accused to face his accuser before violating his constitutional and natural rights? No. Red flag laws turn the Bill of Rights and the fundamental legal doctrine that a man is innocent until proven guilty completely upside down. Red flag laws are a mockery to every constitutional principle of liberty since the Magna Carta. Seizing a citizen's firearms by force and thereby rendering him defenseless without a crime being committed or even the accusation of a crime being made is old-fashioned tyranny. Such a act presumes a person guilty until proven innocent. Then there is this. After the guns are seized, it could take years for the victim to prove his innocence or competence and have his guns returned. And in what condition would they be when and if returned? Furthermore, will you legislators, judges, and police officers who collaborate to strip an innocent person's ability to defend himself accept any responsibility when the real bad guys take advantage of this person's vulnerability and invade his home and bludgeon or rape or even kill his family? Of course you won't. But mark it down. You will be held accountable and responsible in the eyes of Almighty God and in the eyes of the citizens you have victimized. And are you really going to try and tell us that police officers are more competent and mentally stable than the rest of us? Are you kidding me? The examples of improper, unsafe, careless, and even homicidal acts of cops with guns are ubiquitous. It was an FBI agent who was armed at a nightclub in Denver and then started gyrating and dancing like a madman until his handgun fell on the floor, discharged, and wounded a fellow patron. But no official even questioned this officer's fitness to possess a firearm even after that event took place. Then there's the case of the Dallas police officer who walked into the wrong apartment and shot and killed the man who lived inside. Where was the red flag regarding this officer? And what about the two police officers in St. Louis who used a revolver to play Russian roulette? And one of the two wound up shooting and killing the other one. Why wasn't a red flag raised about these nincompoops? These stories could go on forever. Where are the red flag laws for the policemen and sheriff's deputies in this country? The only difference between them and the rest of us who are being victimized by these draconian red flag laws is that they wear badges and we do not. And the other difference is the vast majority of private citizens who carry firearms are not nearly as stupid and incompetent as the policemen mentioned above. So much for equal justice under the law. It has taken many of us a lifetime of hard work and labor to be able to obtain our gun collections. We have successfully passed FBI background checks, local and state requirements and obligations for responsible gun ownership, yet our guns are going to be confiscated overnight by the word of someone, an anonymous someone at that, who claims we might be unsuitable to own a gun. Again, such an act turns American history and our Bill of Rights upside down. Chris Kobach is a former Secretary of State of Kansas. He's a former professor of constitutional law at UMKC School of Law. He wrote an excellent analysis of the constitutional violations of these red flag laws, and I quote, number one, the seizure of guns without any hearing at all. The laws all contain an ex parte provision that allows the state to temporarily seize a person's guns without even notifying the gun owner or giving him a chance to be heard. This is the quintessential denying of due process. The Fourth Amendment makes clear that a person cannot be denied liberty to exercise one's constitutional right to keep and bear arms without due process of law. This confiscation is temporary, but it can easily lead to long-term or permanent confiscation. Number two, based on the testimony of one unrelated person, the confiscation order can be based on the testimony of only one person claiming that the gun owner poses a risk to the safety of himself or others. The law, proposed in Kansas, deceptively says that it has to be the testimony of a family member. But family member is defined to include former dating partners and anyone who has ever lived with the defendant. So a jilted former boyfriend or girlfriend or even a roommate from years ago could easily set in motion the disarming of a lawful gun owner. Number three, using a very low standard of proof. The standard for obtaining an ex parte order against a gun owner is absurdly low. One only need to show, quote, reasonable cause to believe that the person may pose a risk. That's even lower than the probable cause standard for obtaining a search warrant. In addition, the judge is forced to rush his decision and issue the confiscation order on the same day of the ex parte hearing. Within 2 weeks of the ex parte hearing, a hearing with the gun owner present must occur. The purpose is to put in place a long-term confiscation order. But even at that hearing, the standard of proof is far below the beyond a reasonable doubt standard used in criminal trials. Rather, it need only be shown by a, quote, preponderance of evidence, unquote, that the person poses a risk of injury to self or others. What kind of evidence? Things like the reckless storage of firearms or drinking habits can be considered. If you keep a handgun in the bedside table and drink a beer, you may be in trouble. Number four, shifting the burden of proof to the gun owner. The long-term confiscation order lasts up to a year, but it may be renewed indefinitely. Once it is in place, it becomes very difficult to remove. To have the confiscation order lifted, the gun owner must prove he does not pose a threat to himself or others. Proving a negative is nearly impossible. Adding insult to injury, the bill even authorizes local law enforcement to charge the gun owner a...
All righty, we're back. I wanted to say that Austin in Texas pledges 100. Terry in New York pledges 200. Adrian in Chicago pledges 500. Right now, pardon? Andrea in Chicago, okay. Now, right now we are 3,200 short of our goal. 3,200 short of our goal. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pledge 1,000. Right now, Doers of the Word Church, 1,000. And ask, I'd like to have three of you, three people out there, match that. Three people match my pledge of 1,000. Can you do that? If you can do it, we really need you. We need it right now. We really need it tonight. So, again, I need three people to match that 1,000. Take it back to Chuck. bring it back. Yeah, go back to Chuck.
This man had committed no crime. He had not been accused of committing. Lighting the matches of resistance in the hearts of freedom-loving people in this country like hasn't been seen in over 150 years. We have already heard about Gary Willis, the Maryland man who was killed by police officers in his own home as they attempted to carry out a red flag order to seize his gun. This man had committed no crime. He had not been accused of committing a crime. He was given no hearing and no due process. Mr. Willis did not attempt to harm the officers. He merely resisted their efforts to disarm him, and he was killed on the spot in his own home by police officers who had taken an oath to protect the liberties of this poor innocent man. I assure you, Mr. Willis will not be the last American to resist the attempted confiscation of his firearms. Do you legislators, judges, county sheriffs, chiefs of police, sheriff's deputies, city policemen not realize that red flag laws are tantamount to a declaration of war against the American people? Are you so removed from the laws of nature and nature's God that you cannot see this? Do you not realize that in spite of all of Great Britain's abuses of power, our colonist forebears did not openly rebel against the crown until King George sent troops to Lexington and Concord to confiscate the colonists' firearms? You do understand that, right? And you do understand, do you not, that the blood of the colonists flows in the veins of we Americans? At what point do the American people come to believe that you truly do not wish to honor your oath to the Constitution or behave in a manner that truly honors America's Second Amendment and the heritage of liberty that we all share as Americans? At what point do we Americans lose all respect for our civil magistrates and peace officers? For many Americans, that point will come when policemen bang on their doors at 5 a.m. and attempt to seize their guns. Do you not realize that every single instance of an innocent person being subjected to a red flag gun confiscation order will only magnify and strengthen the resentment and animosity in the hearts of the community against these laws and against the ones who are creating and implementing them? Do you not understand that this is a powder keg that could explode into an all-out rebellion at any time? Do you want that? I don't want that. I don't want that for my wife and me, my children and grandchildren, my friends, or my community. Why would you legislators, judges, and policemen even think about doing such a thing? In the name of all that we hold dear, in the name of the brave men at Lexington, Green, and Concord Bridge, in the name of every American who's given his life in defense of the principles contained in the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights, including many of our brave police officers and sheriff's deputies, and in the name of the natural laws of our Creator, please stop this madness before you literally tear our communities and our country apart. As a legislator, you must not pass any semblance of a red flag law. As a judge, you must not issue a gun confiscation warrant on the basis of a red flag law. As a sheriff or chief of police, you must not order your officers to confiscate a citizen's guns on the basis of a red flag warrant. And if you are a sheriff's deputy or city policeman, you must not obey an order to confiscate your fellow citizens' guns on the basis of a red flag law. I beg you to realize what you are doing. I beg you to refuse to participate in this madness. I beg you to join your fellow churchmen, clubmen, neighbors, friends, and townsmen and help us turn back this dastardly attempt to transform our constitutional republic into another repressive regime that, in the end, would require the people to tear it down. Again, I beg you to think about what you are doing, about the pain you are causing, about the lives you are ruining, and about the potential harm you are inflicting on our country. Red flag laws are on the wrong side of history, the wrong side of our Constitution, the wrong side of liberty, and on the wrong side of the laws.
All right, he is right on. Everything he said is right on, folks. And no, none of us want to have a civil war. But that's, they're pushing for that. And when he was asking that, is that what you want? The answer is yes. That is exactly what the Democratic Communist Party want. That's exactly they're pushing. This is why you've got these hordes of unclean people. You've got these sodomites out there. You've got these wicked, evil, screeching, hollering banshees, whorish-type women out there who want nothing. They want to kill babies. They want to. They think they have a right to kill babies. They're wicked to the bone, to the bone. Now,
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
One thing he didn't use for an example, and I want to bring this up. Let's take the automobile. More people die in automobile accidents in this country than ever by guns. Now, what if we had a red flag law? If you suspected somebody being, you might speed or you might drive too long without taking a rest, or, you know, because you, I've seen you in the front yard having a beer or in your back, you know, backyard having a couple beers, that maybe you're a drunk driver. And, well, red flag law, you could come and take somebody's automobile away. And they'd have to prove that they weren't going to commit a crime or an accident with that automobile and kill somebody. It's the same thing. If they can do it with guns, they could do it with your car. They could do it with other things. Think about it. It's an excuse to have control over your freedom to break the laws of the Constitution, to remove you further from the freedoms and rights given by God, and put you more under the thumb of big government and their control. You wouldn't want it on your car. You wouldn't, shouldn't want it on your guns.
We've got 28 minutes left tonight, folks. 28 minutes left, and we are still, I believe, what, how far? Okay, so we are still about 2,400, about 2,400 short of our goals, and we have about 27 minutes right now. Okay, so again, Renee in New York pledges 50. Thank you, Renee. Again, doers of the word, I'm asking to match some people out there to match our challenge, which we pledged $1,000, $1,000. And folks, we're working, you know, we work like dogs out there. And so we need, look, you know, we don't make money. We're not like the prosperity churches out there. What we do here is it's for the cause. It's for the cause. It's not for the dollar, but the dollar cause, because we don't have sponsors. See, we couldn't, because of the things we do here, our sponsors wouldn't last very long at all. They, in fact, what is it?
They would run with their tail between their legs.
Yeah.
First week or two that the world came after them, because they've tried to come after Salem Studios. They've tried to every which way to come after us. And our safety is that God has put the everything in your hands. We do the work. Your donations pay the bills. And that way the IRS can't come and harass us. The sponsors can't leave. And it's put in the hands of you, the listener. It's a true partnership. It really is. It's one of the most unique relationships on talk radio. And as far as I know, I think you and your program and the people with you, like me, I don't think there's another program like this where the people work for no pay.
No, and again, like I said, and we've been here 50 years. We've been doing this now. The other thing is, as you remember, how Bloomberg bought those stations up just to get us off.
New York, yeah.
Now, right now, the Soros is doing that with the Spanish stations in large numbers, in fact.
He's buying out the biggest radio. Mambi is the largest conservative radio station. It's Latino in Florida. And there's a $60 million deal, and they're waiting for approval by the FCC. But it's been historically linked to the exile community, the Cuban community, offers a real anti-communist view, and would now be in control of a group of liberals, and these people have ties to Clinton's, and the this group is bankrolled by Soros, and they're intending to purchase 18 Hispanic radio stations across 10 different markets in the U.S. And you know why? Well, the figures came out today. Only 26% of Hispanics would vote for Biden. The rest are going to go and vote for a Republican in this next election. So what are they going to do? They're going to buy the radio stations to try to hide the truth from the Hispanics and try and feed them the same disinformation you get from all of the liberal mainstream media networks.
All righty, 888-281-1110. We are now running at about 25 minutes. We've got 25 minutes left. Again, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Dawn in Massachusetts pledges 100. Thank you, Dawn.
Dawn, yeah.
Okay, folks.
I don't have any Christian George Soroses out there. Not that I know of. A Christian wouldn't have that kind of money.
Well, no, there are some. There are some out there that do have that kind of money. And so remember one time we had the fellow who had that women's group. What were they called? They had like women workout, and it was a one-word name for him. But the fellow was a billionaire, and he was on here with us. He had a ministry out there to help feed in Haiti. He would bring food in and medical supplies. And I'm having one of my senior moments right now. But
let me quote Deuteronomy, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. And some people out there have been blessed greatly with the ability to make money, whether for business, professional practice, or just certain talents. And that's why you're asking for some of those people to step up and match you tonight, right?
I am. And again, all I need is three people to match my $1,000 pledge, and we'll make our goal for tonight. And so,
or six people with $500.
Yeah. Yeah, six people with 500. What about 12 people with 200?
We can do it that way too. 30 of you out there with 100 match me yesterday. I'm a disabled veteran. I don't have anything but my disability pay from the military, and we have to give as we are able.
Yep, absolutely. And so, not only do we give our time, and a lot of it, I mean a lot of time.
A lot of it, yes.
You know, we do a tremendous amount of research to bring what they do not want you, and believe me, you know, it's just like the 2,000 mules. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I kind of have a sneaky suspicion that there's something up with holding up the 2,000 mules. Folks, they've been on order. We should have had them here by now. For you folks that have ordered them, hang in there. As soon as we get them, the very day that they come in, they'll start going out in the mail. But
they're going after Sousa. I mean, even Bill Barr came out, and Bill Barr was laughing, making light. He said, "My opinion." This is Bill Barr speaking at a House.
Bill Barr is a traitor. He sold us out. He is.
He's saying the election was not stolen. I haven't seen anything since the election that changes my mind, including the 2000 Mules movie, he said before laughing. I don't believe he watched the movie. I really don't. If he had seen it, he wouldn't be laughing at it.
No, he sold us out.
Anyway, Sousa has challenged him to a debate, a public debate on election fraud, and I'll bet my next month's pay that Bill Barr will not take him up on that
no more.
State offer.
He would not take him up any more than he would sit across from me right in here in this studio right here.
Debated, yeah.
Because he wouldn't get any softballs. We would hit him with the hard questions, and he knows it. And he sold us. He sold us out.
He sold us out, yep.
All right.
He was one of the he's part of the deep state, but he's one of those that tries to make it look like he's neutral. He's in the middle just upholding the rule of law.
Nick in Bridgeport, Texas pledges 200. Carmen in Connecticut pledges 100. Frank in Cleveland pledges 25.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
You say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right to make a stand. And I'm proud to say on my wedding day that my was not a man,
a great big ugly man.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
I'd rather be right than wrong, too. I'd rather be right than the left, because the left is definitely wrong. And boy, I'm going to tell you, whoo, God is not mocked. And they're in for an extreme, I mean an extremely rude awakening. Now, Lulu in Vista, California pledges 50. Richard in Cleveland, 25. Anonymous in Boston pledges 300. We have to find a way to stay on that California station. We got to find a way to stay on those California, because boy, I'm going to tell you, we've been there for a long time.
They're in San Diego.
Yeah, and they've come, you know, they're not far from paying for themselves. And I wish we could say the same for Atlanta or Tampa, but all right, we are at now. Right now we need approximately, let me see, approximately $1,1800. $1,800 is what we need right now to make our goal. But I would still like to have. All I need now is two people to match that pledge for 1,000. If we could get just two people to match that pledge for 1,000. Okay. Did I say Anonymous in Boston pledges 300? I said that. Okay. So we have 15 minutes, folks. and we need to raise $1,800, which is a little more than $100 a minute, Joe.
Minute, yeah. But Lord willing, everything's possible with God. Hey, did you know, Pastor Andy, did you know that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was a comedian?
No, I didn't know he was a comedian. What did he do this time?
He was, you know, Biden went on and he was talking about how he was bragging about cutting the deficit, right? Well, Kevin McCarthy came out and said the only thing the president slashed was America's pension accounts under the Internal Revenue Code 401k. When you look at it, the only thing he's given to the public is a car payment without a car. The only thing he did was cut my 401k to a 201k, cut it in half. I thought that is humor, but unfortunately, it's the truth.
Well, he did help with foreclosures. Foreclosures are up 181%. Home foreclosures. People are losing their homes. So they're way up. You know what? I went into the store and I bought a little battery that we use, like, for the smoke detectors. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't very long ago I bought that battery, and the battery was about $4.95. Well, I went in and I bought it, and today it was $9. And so,
well, you know, people, the government keeps telling us that it's going to get better soon. Well, Art Laffer, remember, was the economist for Ronald Reagan, and he's saying that this Biden's rosy outlook, it's a catastrophic economy, he's saying. He is trying to warn the people about what's going on. And, you know, Biden's talking about the economy is better than it has been historically. These lies are just incredible. Everybody can see the cost of groceries, gasoline, how, like you said, the foreclosures, rent is sky high all over. People can't afford rent. They can't buy a used car. They can't buy a new car. They can't even get one if they have the money because they're not out there. And Art Laffer is warning that we're not close to a recovery, that it's going to get worse, that everything they're doing are things that will not work, that are designed to make it worse. It's not a recovery, and it's going to turn in. If
hey, Joe, let me tell you what. Here, J.P. Morgan, here's what they say. J.P. Morgan's Diamond, who works for J.P. Morgan, and now Goldman Sachs, Waldron, here's what they have to say. The world is about to get hit with an economic hurricane.
Okay.
And he goes on to say that another prominent banking executive, John Waldron of Goldman Sachs, is predicting major, major economic doom in the very near future. A recent investor meeting, Waldron echoed the sentiments of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, concerning what Diamond called an economic hurricane that is about to make landfall, joking that he would avoid using any weather analogies. As Diamond did, Waldron expressed similar fear about inflation, ever-changing monetary policy, and, of course, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the latter being every Western influence's favorite scapegoat for what is now unfolding. This is among, if not the most complex, dynamic environments I've ever seen in my career, Waldron told investors. The confluence of the number of shocks to this system, to me, is unprecedented. So, yeah, it's happening. And it's
the World Bank saying that we're headed for an extended period of stagflation reminiscent of the 70s, you know, and we're short 5 million jobs, short of where we're supposed to be. And this is the great inflation. So they're lying to you, folks. Get prepared for hard times, and they're bringing it on purpose. So get mad. It is Biden, his administration, liberal policies. This is on purpose. It's not accidental. It's not because they're incompetent. It's because they are evil and wicked, and they must be voted out.
All righty here. I got to make an announcement, too. But first, folks, we've got 10 minutes. I've got 10 minutes left, and we are still, I believe, 1,800 short. So, again, 888. Listen, all I need is a couple more people, just two. It would be nice to have three match my pledge of 1,000. We just need a couple. Now, I know there's many of you out there could say, look, in fact, let me just tell you this. Joe, if everybody that received our newsletter, if everybody out there that received our newsletter, one of the best newsletters out there, pledged $25, do you know what, Joe? We wouldn't have to ask, we would not have to have another pledge week for a couple of years.
Wow.
If everybody out there that received our newsletter, if they would all do that, every single one, and, you know, because we send that newsletter out as free, and everybody loves it. But just think, if everybody out there that receives it would just pledge $25, we wouldn't have to have another pledge week for a couple of years. Now, here, this coming Thursday morning at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, and you can get our address and everything right off our website, wrwl.org. We're going to have the regular people Thursday morning group will meet at 9 p.m., the regular group at 9. The new people out there would like to come at 10 a.m., and we're going to be praying for our nation and praying that God will bring a thunderstorm, whatever, on Saturday. Because the Sodomites on Saturday want to have their Sodomite parade with drag queens there on Chardon Square in Geauga County. And that's this coming Saturday. And the Sodomite, the decadence, the Sodom and Gomorrah will start from, it will go from 2 to 8 p.m. And then the following week they want to do the same thing in Burton. In other words, they're saying, we're going to come out of here. We've infected the cities. We've turned the cities into Sodom and Gomorrah. We want to bring our sin, our uncleanness, out to the countryside. And so then Thursday at 9, at 7 p.m., there's going to be another prayer meeting at 7 p.m. at my cousin's church in Chardon. And that's the Chardon Christian Fellowship. At 401 South Hamden Street. That's 401 South Hamden Street in Chardon. And that's from 7, it starts at 7 p.m. prayer. So, folks, you need to come on out. And, you know, we've got to pray that God will raise up the people. Let's take our country back. They want to destroy your children. They want to take away all of your freedom. You know, so they want to force Sodom and Gomorrah onto you, just exactly like the Bibles, like we saw in Genesis. All right, Marlene in Michigan pledges 30. Thank you, Marlene. We're still short. We need, again, folks, I gotta get, we need at least two more to match my pledge, or four people to match it of 500. If we can get four people to match the pledge of 500, we can do it. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And here, you know, by the way, Joe, did you know that the CDC director issues an alert on Pfizer's COVID-19 pill? You know what she's saying? She's saying, this is from the Epic Times, that guess what? If you take the pill, you're likely to get COVID again. This is amazing.
Ones are getting it.
Rochelle Walensky, CDC director. I mean, it's like, we know that you people out there in America are really stupid. I mean, it's an amazing thing. All right, Judy in Colorado pledges 100. Thank you, Judy. And so, Lulu in Vista, California, pledged another 25. Okay, Lulu, up here.
Thank you, yeah. Like you said, if everybody that got the newsletter would just send in $25, we would more than make it. We would be...
We wouldn't have to do it for a couple of years, yeah.
Good, we'd have the wind at our back, right?
Yeah. Yep. And so, and when you get the newsletter, folks, feel free to make copies of it and pass it out.
Yes, that's what I do. Take them to church, Take them, hand them to your friends, people you go to work with, you know, things like that. And then ask them if they enjoyed it, make copies and hand to their other friends. And that helps the money go much, much further.
Here's an article, Joe, from the Daily Bell, And here, and this is by John Whitehead. And he says, America, meet your new dictator-in-chief. The president's secret unchecked powers. Well, he's not really the president. He was installed. He was not elected. That was a lie told by liars. That was a lie told, and not one of them will have the guts to come on this program. I keep putting that out there to see if I can get one of them to come on here, because I tell you, unbelievable, the fake news media. Just unbelievable how many, you know, how they're such blatant liars. And you know what? They don't think that, praise the Lord, Jim in Massachusetts just pledged 1,000. All right, so.
All right, we've got one match. Oh, that's only one left to go, right?
Well, we got Rosita in Michigan pledged 100. Carol in San Diego pledges 100. There you go. So, okay, we're only a couple hundred bucks short of our goal, just a couple hundred. But it would be nice. I mean, it would be nice if we still got another. If we could get one more, like Jim in Massachusetts, to match my 1,000, that would help. That would be great. Let's go for it. There's got to be some people out there that can do that, that can match that. Anyhow, Joe, going back to this article here. As the New York Times reports, newly disclosed documents have shed a crack of light on a secret executive branch plans for apocalyptic scenarios. Like the aftermath of a nuclear attack, when the president may activate wartime powers for national security emergencies. He's doing everything he can to create a national emergency. The problem, of course, is that we become a nation in a permanent state of emergency. Power-hungry and lawless, the government has weaponized one national crisis after another in order to expand its powers and justify all manner of government tyranny in the so-called name of national security. That's exactly right. The seeds of this present madness were sown almost two decades ago when George W. Bush stealthily issued two presidential directives that granted the president power to unilaterally declare a national emergency, which they loosely defined as the incident regardless of the location that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions. All right, there you go. We've only got about, I think about 5 minutes left. How much, actually, before we go to, how much time do we have before we go to the invitation? Okay, what is the phone for Randy? Oh, okay, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110. That's if you have a credit card and you want to call that in, 888-281-1110. All right, it looks like, we may have some more coming in, hopefully, yep.
Well, while they're coming in, you were talking a little about that pride parade that's going on. Nancy Pelosi appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race. Drag is what America is all about. And the speaker made, and she says, "It's an honor to be here. Your freedom of expression of yourselves in drag is what America is all about." And she was primping, and she said, "With the midterm elections coming, it's very important for people to make their voices and their vote heard." Oh, yes, it is. Hey, she actually told the truth. It's very important for you to make your voice and vote heard. We've got to vote these Antichrist people who are leading the children to hell out. We must get rid of them in office and power.
All right, we have Philip and Sheila in Texas pledges 200. We just made our goal, I think. Okay, and let me see what else we have. Sandy in Ocala, Florida, just pledges 400. Thank you, Sandy.
Okay. Okay. We are on a roll, huh?
Right. How much time do we have left? Okay. You got 3 minutes, Joe. 3 minutes to give an invitation. So you better get after it real quick.
All right. Jesus himself said, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless you are born again. I remember when I was young and I was in the Episcopal Church, and first time somebody talked to me and asked me about being born again, I looked at them like, "What are you talking about?" I had no idea or understanding. And too many people think that going to church makes you a Christian, will save you, that if your parents are Christian, that will save you, get you to heaven. In fact, we've seen surveys where more people believe in heaven than believe in the God that created it. But Jesus said simply in John chapter 5, "Truly, truly, I say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," the word "you must be born again, "and believeth on him that sent me, the Father, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. It's a second birth, and it makes you a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus, and everlasting life, and it totally changes you forever, for eternity. And it is the only way to go to heaven. And what you have to do is very simple. You have to call upon the Father, Father God, with a repentant heart, a heart that's sorry that your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, that he had to take and die, take your place, my place, Pastor Ernie's place, the substitutionary death. He paid the price for sin. And you accept his offer of that death, paying for your sins. So you call upon the Father and ask God to forgive you for your sins, that you want Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, to come into your life without any reservation, that you want to give yourself completely to him, that you want the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You want to become a born-again believer. And when this happens and you do it with a truly repentant heart, you become this child of the kingdom. You become a son or daughter of the living God, and you become this born-again believer into everlasting life. The greatest decision that you will ever, ever make. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can help you. You must repent yourself and call upon the Lord and accept his offer of salvation and redemption.
Absolutely, and we are just about out of time. Linda in San Diego pledges 100. Thank you again. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Sally in San Diego. Okay, let me see. Sally in California mentions 100, and Linda, both from California, pledge 100.
Oh, no wonder you got, yeah. Remember, we're all volunteers here, folks.
Remember, Joe, good night. God bless. But always keep
Fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.